If you had to think about it, what would be the ultimate point or the ultimate thing that Jesus wanted us to take away from him? Before he left this earth, before he left and he ascended into heaven. There's a lot of things that Jesus said, there's a lot of things that Jesus did, but there's one ultimate point that he made that would be for all of us, that we would have to, excuse me, I'm just going to take this off, that we would have to take and say, that's what Jesus came, that's what he wants us to do, that's what he instructed us to do. Well, that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about his commission, the last great commission that he gave to each one of us to go into all the world. And the Lord instructed me to change my scripture. My scripture passage is going to be, instead it's going to be Matthew 28 verses 1 through 20. So I was going to be preaching on the Gospel of Mark, but God redirected me to do Matthew 28, verses 1 through 20. So if you read along with me, it's Matthew 28, verses 1 through 20. Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he had said. Come, see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me." Now while they were on their way, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, "You are to say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this should come to the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble." And they took the money and did as they had been instructed. And the story was widely spread among the Jews, as it is to this day. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And may God add the blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Amen. What I'm going to be focusing on, what happens after the resurrection. After Jesus had been rose, I'm going to focus specifically on that. But I read the whole passage in order to give us context into what we're going to be talking about today. So let's look at, this is after the tomb was empty. And it says in verse 4 that the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. So the angel had appeared, And they were, and the guards were so shocked that they were like dead men. They'd fallen down on the ground prostrate. And he said, and he is not here. He has risen, just as he had said, come see the place where he was lying. So that's the first instruction. And this is really important. One of the things, that's the first instruction that was given to the disciples after Jesus had risen. It's, what did he tell them to do? It says, the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid. So he tells them, don't be afraid. You know, Jesus is not there. You don't have to be afraid. This is what you are to do. For I know that you are looking for Jesus and he's been crucified. He is not here. He has risen. Come see the place where he was lying. So the first instruction was what? They were afraid. They didn't know what to do. The first instruction was, come see the place where he lay. That was the very first instruction. Sometimes people will overlook that. But that was an important instruction to give because that's going to set the basis. That's going to set the premise for everything else that will follow. Because if they don't go in and see, they don't have any evidence. So he gives them the instruction, go see for yourself what was in the tomb. Had they not done that, nobody else would have believed their story. But they do. What did they do? They followed their instruction. Because what does it say here? Go quickly. And he says, he is not here, for he has risen just as he has said, come see the place where he was lying. So we see that they did that. So they went and they go in there and they see that. So the first instruction was, go see the place. Here's the now, this is really important for us as believers. When God gives instructions, and I talk about this a lot in my messages, is that we need to follow his instructions implicitly, not deviate and make our interpretation of his instructions, because sometimes we'll try and interpret his instructions to fit what we want or what we believe. You can't interpret God's instructions to fit what you want or your opinion or what you believe or what you feel is right. You can't do that. Because if you do that, then you're going to be in error and you're going to find your way, you're going to miss the way which God has for you, and you're going to miss some very important things. And this was This is the most critical point because it's saying it's the evidence that Jesus has risen. Go and see the place where he lay. Go. Follow his instructions. Here's what he's saying. The angel is speaking what? On whose behalf? From God's behalf. Do that. That's the first instruction. Secondly, in verse 7, it says, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. Okay? So, what's the second instruction? It says, go quickly and tell his disciples. First one was, what? To go into the tomb to see it's empty. Secondly is to go tell the disciples, now that you know that he's not here, now that you know it's empty, now go and tell others. You've seen for yourself, you know for yourself, you realize for yourself, you understand for yourself, now go and tell the other disciples so that they can hear and they can believe too. The other disciples never came to the tomb, so how are they going to know it's empty? Well, they come, they're going to know because you told them so, because you were there at the tomb and you saw the empty tomb. Because you went in and you looked. You follow the instruction of the angels. Now, and then, so what did they do? So the second instruction is, go tell the other disciples. That's important. Again, it's following the instructions. Following what he says. Not making an interpretation of what you feel the instructions are to fit your liking. You don't do that. You can't do that. And when you do that, that's what people do. And that's where they get into error. And that's where false doctrine, false teaching happens. Because people will interpret God's instructions to fit what their opinion is, their liking is or what they want or what's convenient for them. And so it's really critically important not to interpret God's instructions to fit what you want. So this is what, so what did the ladies do? The ladies said, oh, okay, no, never mind, I'll just go our own way. What did they do? It says that he's risen from the dead. He's going to head of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they heard it. They can't deny that they haven't heard it. They can't deny, oh, I didn't hear that. Sometimes I hear kids say, where it's saying, oh, I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that. When you know explicitly that you told them, sometimes they say, well, no, I didn't hear that. When you know you told them, we can't say that with God. When God tells us something, we can't claim the fact that, oh, God, you never told me. You never said that. I never heard you, God. When we know darn clear that we heard him. You can't pass off to God saying, no, I didn't hear you. You can't lie to God because God knows everything. God knows when we hear him. It's when we choose not to hear him and we choose not to hear what he has to say. You can't claim, you say, God, you never told me. Yes, he has. So God tells us we need to be obedient to what he tells us to do. So remember, we're following instructions. The first instruction, go into the tomb and see that it is empty. Secondly, is go tell the other disciples that he has risen. And go, and then the third instruction as a part of that instruction was I will go ahead and meet them in Galilee. That's very important. Going to Galilee, there you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So you're going to see Jesus there. Had they what happened if they never followed those instructions? What would have happened to the disciples? What would happen to the others? What happened if they deviated from Jesus' instructions? What would have happened to everything else that would follow? God has a purpose and he has a plan. And when he tells us instructions, there's a reason for it. And we can't question God's purposes and reasons because we don't like it or because it's convenient. It's not convenient for us. We have to follow God's instructions and we have to follow them implicitly. That means to the letter. We can't deviate right or left. Because it's critical. It just doesn't affect us. It just doesn't affect us. It affects everyone else around us. Because if they didn't follow those instructions, what would happen to the disciples? Then what would happen to everyone else that was supposed to hear the message about Jesus? What happened if they said, well, what happened if they never told them to go into Galilee? Would they have met Jesus? Would they have seen Jesus risen? No. Because they didn't follow the instructions that Jesus gave them. I mean, because that it was given to them through the angel for them to follow. But let's go on here. And it says, and the other thing was, is that it says, go quickly. So there's in verse 7. So that's another important point. If God tells you to do something, don't delay in doing it. If he tells you to go do it, you go do it when he tells you to do it. You don't delay. You don't take your time. You don't say, okay, I'll get to it, and continue to do what you're supposed to be doing. He tells you quickly to go do something, you go do it right away because there's a reason, there's a timing for all of God's purposes and reasons here on earth. We can't delay with God's timing, folks. God's timing is perfect, and we need to be obedient in his timing when he tells us to do it. Delayed obedience is disobedience, folks. Delayed obedience is disobedience. So we need to do it when God tells us to do it. And what happens in verse 9? It says, and behold, what did the angel do? He said to go to Galilee. And what happened? It says, and Jesus met them and greeted them, just as the angel had said. Isn't that something? It always turns out just the way God says. It always turns out the way he intends it to do. They didn't follow the instructions, and what ended up happening? They were blessed, and then the others were blessed too because they told them. And that's important because not only is the blessings for us, folks, but the blessings are for others as well. And we're a part of God's plan as we follow his instructions so that we can be blessed, so that we can experience God's presence and power in our lives, and so that others can as well. And it'll turn out just the way God intends it to turn out. And Jesus was there just as he had, just as it was said that he would be through the angel. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. They realized who he was, right? Who's the only one who can be worshiped? It's God, right? So what did they do? First thing he did is they came up and they knew it was Jesus. And they took their arms and they wrapped them arms around him and they bowed at his feet. And they bowed down to him. And they worshiped him because he's God. He's the risen Savior, the risen God. The very purpose for what he came to do was to have victory over sin and death. But then to take that message and to share it with others, as we're going to find out. And what is Jesus' instructions for them now? Now it's not only the instructions from the angel, from God through the angel. Now it's instructions directly from Jesus. Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren and leave for Galilee, and there they will see me. Okay, so we see here, it says don't. So there's it's a multi-part instruction. It says, don't be afraid. When things happen in our lives that we don't understand sometimes, we don't get it. It's astonishing. It's overwhelming sometimes, it seems like. And we get afraid, don't we? Because we don't know what the future holds. We don't know what the future plan is. We don't know what the future steps are. And so we're afraid. We're fearful because we don't know, because we're not in control. And when we're not in control, that's where we get afraid, right? But one of the things that we have to come to is a place where, yeah, it's okay to be afraid, but we need to, at those points, it's to put our fear and our trust in who? Ask God to take our fear and give our fear to him, right? Give our fear to him and trust him. He's got it in control. His plan is perfect. Didn't he create this world? Didn't he speak the universe into existence, the heavens into existence? This world and all its intricacies in the voice of his mouth. Can he not take our life? Can he not take our plans? Can he not take this world and do with it what is pleasing to him? And can he not accomplish what he wants to? He's got it all. He's got it in control. There's a little song. I remember the song. It was a kid song. It says he's got the whole world in his hands, right? He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. We don't have to be afraid. He's got it in control, folks. His plans are perfect. His plans are right. His plans are just and true. And he will accomplish what he will accomplish. But we need to trust him in the midst of that. He's got it. Go and take my word. So there's that command again. To my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me. So go. Another command coming directly from Jesus. Go into Galilee and go tell my brethren and meet me there in Galilee. I'll be there. I'll meet them there. So again, that's another instruction from Jesus that's explicitly giving them the instructions on what to do. There's always a plan on what to do. And remember, folks, God speaks all the time. God speaks all the time. It's just a matter if we're listening or not and obeying. I miss it a lot. We miss it a lot. But we have to get to a place where we get it more than we miss it, folks. You understand what I'm saying? Believe him. Receive from him. Follow his instructions and do what he asks us to do. Because when we do, that's when we see fantastic things, wonderful things happen in our lives and in our world, folks. It's when we walk in, if we walk in fear, that's when we miss out. But it's when we walk in faith and we believe, that's when we see wonderful things happen. So that was his instruction, go into Galilee, and there you will see me. It's not maybe you'll see me, you will see me. If God, Jesus says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. There you're going to see Jesus, actually risen. So we find out what's going to happen. But if you look at verses 11 through 15, I'm going to skip down through that, but there was, man has his own plan, and man has his own way of deception. Man has his own way of trying to manipulate and trying to cover over God's plans and trying to lie about God and trying to deceive and trying to redirect and trying to alter God's plans and God's things. Can man alter God's plan and God's purpose? No. God's plan will always be accomplished. God's plan will always be, will come about the way he wants it to come about, regardless of what man tries to do. You're always going to have doubters. You're always going to have deceivers. You're always going to have people that are trying to deceive and redirect, all directed from the enemy, using people to redirect God's plan. And the reality is that man will never be able to accomplish, man will ever ultimately be able to hurt God's plan. Because what happened here? Could man stop even this plan here, what these men did in verses 11? Everything, all the other plans that happened up to this point, and even this point here, 11 through 15, could have that stopped what God was trying to do, or what Jesus was trying to accomplish? Absolutely not. And neither will any plan of man today, nor purpose of man today, thwart or stop or divert God's plan for what he wants to accomplish. It will be done. Whatever God says, whatever God wills, whatever God's purpose is, it will be accomplished in his time, his way, his plan. And ultimately, this is what this is Jesus', remember I talked about in the beginning, is that what God's ultimate purpose was for coming, was that Jesus, of course, would die, live, come to earth, live as a man, God living as a man, fully God, fully man, being crucified, killed, and rising, and now taking that very gospel message to where? To all the world. And these are his instructions. And this whole message this morning is about the commission. His instructions for us to share his gospel. Disciples had followed him up to this point. They followed his instructions up to this point. Now he's going to be going away. He's going to be gone, physically gone. They will have the Holy Spirit in them to carry on the work and be able to equip them to complete the work. But he gives his final instructions here to the disciples. And let's look at verse 16. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. So the 11, so where was 12? There were 12 disciples, right? Of course, we know that Judas had committed suicide. Judas had taken his own life. So we see that there's 11 here. And so we see here that while they went, Jesus had designated, in other words, they went to the place where Jesus had told them. They followed his instructions as the ladies had gone and told them. They followed their instruction, went to Galilee, and who did they see? And who did they see? In verse 17, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. There he was, just as he said it would be, through the ladies. He told the ladies, and the ladies went and told these 11, and there they were. Who's going to carry on the work? Who's going to carry on the work once Jesus was gone? It was going to be all of us. But who were the primary leaders at that point? It was the 11 disciples. that were going to carry on the work, who were going to teach others and disciple others and disciple others and disciple others and disciple others. So that the message could go out into all the world. Could the 11 disciples do it all by themselves? The apostles do it? No. But this is why Jesus' message is. It says some were doubtful. And of course, we know from other passages, who was one of those who was doubtful? Of course, Thomas was, doubting Thomas. He had his doubts, he had his fears, but Jesus ultimately, as we find out, answered those fears. And we see here, and some of us are going to have doubts. Some of us are going to be afraid. Some of us are going to have questions. Jesus is not afraid. Jesus is willing to answer our questions, answer our doubts, address our doubts, address our trepidation, so to speak, of why he asks us to do something. He can answer those questions. We all have doubts. We all have fears, don't we, folks? But Jesus can answer them, and he can allay our fears, and he can put those fears aside and give us his peace and his hope. But here's his instructions. And Jesus came up and spoke to him, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth." Okay, so what authority has been given to Jesus? All authority. "And heaven and in earth has given to me in heaven and in earth." Who is the authority given to him? The authority was given to him by the Father, God the Father, right? So we know that we know from Scripture as we study that there is the theology of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so God the Father gave all authority to whom? Jesus. Jesus had risen from the dead. He's given them the instructions. Okay, Jesus, authority has been given to you. Go and do what I've instructed you to do. And so as Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus was obedient to his Father every step of the way. Every step along the way, he was obedient, even to the point of death. He was obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross, right? Scripture teaches that. So we see here that as he was obedient, he's instructing his disciples to be obedient so that they can carry. And so as he was obedient, the Father gave him the authority, all authority in heaven and earth. Go therefore and follow his instructions and make disciples of all nations. Okay? Make disciples. Disciple making. That's the final. Look at those instructions. That's the most important thing next to him rising from the dead, isn't it? The instructions. Going into the tomb. Remember we talked about that? From going from the tomb and seeing he's not there and rising again, he appears to them, and now he's saying, go. Go into all. What? Go therefore make disciples of all what nations? Of just Israel. Or your next town over. Or your next region. Or your next state. Or your next wherever. It says, of what? Of all nations. So who does that include? Some nations? Does it include the continent of North America? Does it include South America? Does it include Africa? Does it include Asia? Does it include the Pacific Islands? Australia? It includes all of them, folks. All of them. So his instructions were for what? All men. What does the scripture say? He desires that all men should be saved. That none should come to repent. That none should perish, but that all should come to repentance, right? So that includes every man, no matter who they are, no matter where they are, going into all, going to every nation. That's God's purpose and plan. And going, making disciples. So could these 11 do that all by themselves? No. So God's plan was to make a disciple. So that as Jesus made disciples of the 11, in other words, as Jesus poured into them, what the Father had instructed him, they are to pour into others so that the others can take the message to other places, and they can take other messages, and so on. So from generation to generation to generation to generation to generation to generation to generation. And here we are today. Because others have followed the instructions of God, of making disciples, of teaching them the things which they have heard from Jesus and they have experienced from him, and teaching them to others. And then also, it's also baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Baptism is a part of obedience and the instructions of following him. It's believing, it's making disciples, and then baptizing. Baptizing is an outward expression of your faith in Christ. As Christ was baptized, he followed in obedience. So following baptism is an obedience to your faith in Christ. Every believer should be baptized. Is it a requisite for salvation? No. But if a person receives Christ and he's not baptized, he passes away before he's baptized, is he not saved? No. But it's an obedience to what God has said. Be baptized in the name of what? The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Following his instruction, following his leading. So those are instructions. Making disciples and what? And baptizing them. And then let's finish up here. And teaching them to do what? Here's the third part. It says, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. So that's the final instruction. Teaching them to follow all that I've commanded you. In other words, what I've taught you, you teach them so that they can follow as well. And that's part of what we're called to do as well. This is called the Great Commission. The Great Commission is to do what Jesus told us to do. It's to tell others about him, that he's risen from the dead. That was the first instruction. Go in and see the tomb. Tomb's empty. They did that. Go tell the disciples, go meet Jesus here. They did that. And then Jesus gives them instructions. Go make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, all the instructions I've given you, teach them, teach them, teach them, teach them, teach them, so that they can learn, so they can, how did you learn in school? Who taught you? A teacher did, right? Would have you learned if you didn't have a teacher? No. Same thing in our spiritual faith. Would we learn if we didn't have teachers to teach us, right? Spiritual leaders in our church and in our world, who godly men and women teach us the things of God. So we can learn so that we can also teach others. And then they can teach others, and they can teach others, and they can teach others. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. And ultimately, you do what you follow. You do what he says you're going to do. You do what he tells you you're going to do. And what ends up happening? He's with you what? Even to the end of the age. Even to the very end of all time. You follow his instructions, he'll be with you. You follow what he says you're going to do. You follow his lead. You follow what he's going to do. And he'll be with you. You don't follow the instruction, he's not going to be with you, folks. You deviate, you go in your own direction, he's not going to be with you. Yeah, God will still be in your life. You're not going to lose your salvation. But his direction, his purpose, and his plan won't be with you, folks. But if we follow his instruction, we follow his lead, he'll be with us. And then we'll have his blessing, we'll have his plan and his purpose in our life. Those are his final instructions for us here on earth when he was here on earth. Go and tell others. Make disciples, teaching them to observe everything that he's commanded us. Amen.